Welcome to Star Psychic Network. Oh, okay. That's all it's going to do. I stopped the intro before. Excuse me. This is not very efficient of me. I started to hear it, and I guess it's just their Blog Talk Radio. But anyways, this is Stars Cast, also known as Natalie, tonight with you. We have a great topic. I mean, I'm excited about this. I've never seen anything, but I know Stars Maya has, and I don't know about James, but it's myth or truth, fact or fiction. Is there really a Mothman, a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch, Chupacabra? I know everybody has seen movies on it, and, of course, the movie Mothman, which they will go into. We have Stars Priestess Candy Ranson. She's in the chat room waiting, and I think we're going to have some extra readers tonight, I'm hoping, that are going to come into the chat room tonight because they're kind of viewing and seeing what's going on. So otherwise, on with the show.
Hi. Well, hi, this is Maya, and we are thrilled to have you all. If you have listened before, it's great to have you, and we really hope that you enjoy our new interactive format. And if you're new, we welcome you as well. And I really want to urge everyone, this is such a wonderful topic. If you've had an experience, if you know someone that's had an experience, we would really, really love for you to call in. You can use your first name, or if you would like to remain anonymous. I mean, we're not concerned about if you're Lisa, Bob, or Joe, or John. We just want to hear what you have to say. And if you are completely a non-believer and you think it's all just a bunch of hype for shows to make some money, we want to hear from you. The most important thing is we really would love to hear from our listeners and people calling in. And we want to recognize the people in the chat room and that we work kind of as a team. So we really appreciate their efforts because they do take readings. They do many readings in the chat room, and the show is just an interactive show. So just if you have something to share. So as Natalie mentioned, the topic is, fact or fiction, myth or truth. And I'm going to start things out. Again, this is Maya speaking. I'm going to start things out by saying, a lot of the controversy around these subjects is that, people say, let's go with Bigfoot, for example, which is also known as Sasquatch, and there are different countries pretty much have that same creature. They call him, all different. There's all different names, but it's basically the same creature. It's a bipedal, upright, very large, hair-covered, a human type of animal. That's what, we present with the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch. And, the scientific view, even though there's been a lot of footage that has been, some of it, yes, has been hoaxes, but there's a lot of footage that has remained unexplained, unaccounted for. And science's answer on that is, well, we haven't found bones, so we can't prove it. But what I'm going to say tonight, spiritually, I believe that a lot of these creatures truly exist. In fact, I think there are many creatures in the sea and on land and in the sky that exist that we don't know about, and we are finding if you keep up with science, which I do to a little bit of a point, just because I think it's an interesting topic and subject, but you'll find that, butterflies, worms, caterpillars, snakes, reptiles, and especially the mammal-type fish like sharks, and I don't even know what some of them are called, but they're making discoveries daily. So just because necessarily we have not come across, for example, the dead body of something, what I want to put out there is, okay, let's take something simple like a raccoon. Probably the majority of population has at some time or another seen a raccoon. However, how many times have you seen and been walking and said, oh, wow, there's a dead raccoon body. There's some raccoon bones. So, you know, does it exist? Is it myth? Is it fact? Is it fiction? With that, I'm going to go to James and see. He's always got some great information and provocative things to share with us. So let's go over to James and see what he has to say on this.
Well, thank you, Stars Maya, and I just want to welcome everyone to the show. I'm glad that you're listening in, and please do call in if you have anything to add to what we're talking about. I actually, when I got the topic, I actually read about it earlier today, and I'm thinking, you know, I really wish about 8 months ago there was a class in cryptozoology, and I really, really wish I would have taken it now. But, you know, hindsight 2020. You know, I'm with you on the idea that species are being found or being identified. I guess that's a better word for it. Is they're actually being scientifically classified. I like science as well, and I just kind of did a little research, and 18,000 different species in this past year have been identified. And that's a lot of creatures, and they are not all insects. I mean, we're talking about medium-sized mammals that are now being classified, some of them in the cryptid list. And cryptid just means a creature that is somewhat known but hasn't been scientifically identified. And, you know, when it comes to things like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and those types of creatures, I really would have to say I am on probably more of the skeptic side than the believer side. I personally, I haven't done a lot of research, so I have to say that my skepticism is more based off of, you know, I have never seen any kind of scientific evidence. A lot of what I have seen is very questionable related to those particular, not just those, but most cryptid type animals or unclassified species. Although it is important to point out, too, that at one time the kangaroo was considered a cryptid, that it was not specifically identified, and it was kind of more along the lines of myth, since it's so relegated to one, you know, that species is so relegated to just one part of the world. And you know, Australia is actually really unique to that. There's a lot of new species that are still being identified now scientifically as we move forward and, you know, the human race looks at these species. Now, the other side of that I don't know if this is something that we were planning on covering, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. I do believe that we are not the only sentient creatures in the universe. I do believe that there are other species out, you know, in the cosmos, and maybe even ones that have technologically advanced enough to come here. I have no personal evidence of seeing UFOs. I've never had any kind of experience like that. But it wouldn't necessarily, that idea wouldn't necessarily be out of the realm of belief for me. And I actually, when it comes to that type of phenomenon, personally, I think there's more documented evidence that seems more factual. Maybe it's just because I've seen or heard more about them, but it seems more factual than, you know, creatures like the Loch Ness Monster or Chupacabra or Bigfoot. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it back to, because I just kind of want to hear what you have to say, Maya, so I'm going to give it back to you.
Sure. Well, I tend to, you know, I agree with you. I did have an actual encounter with what I later identified as a Bigfoot, and I might go into that later on, that experience. But what I wanted to touch on that I think is important and is very spiritually relevant is what you said about us not being the only species around. And so what I would like to start out is talking about – a subject that's fascinating, and I went ahead and rewatched the movie, The Mothman Prophecies. Now, the movie is lightly based on the account, and so what I'm going to do is just kind of bring everyone up to speed for anyone that is not familiar with the Mothman. Basically, what happened is in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, a very large bridge that was built in 1928 collapsed during rush hour traffic on December 15th, 1967, and 46 people were killed. Now, this is all fact. This is all documented. In the month of November, prior to that collapse, and that was a huge bridge, that was a devastating event. Prior to that, reports, including firemen and policemen, hundreds of reports were made to the local sheriff department and police officers of a lot of sightings of what they began calling the Mothman. Now, why I'm bringing this up, James, and to our listeners, is because one of the longstanding theories regarding the Mothman is that this is a creature that is actually an alien species. In other words, this is not a creature that would be comparable to, let's say, Bigfoot that lives in the woods and is just an unidentified yet species. But this is more of a mythical creature. And the reports that came in during those, it was about a seven-week period prior to the collapse of this bridge. And after the collapse, just a couple of sightings, and then there was nothing. But also, in addition, and Point Pleasant, West Virginia, is a small town. It's located on the border of West Virginia and Ohio. And keep in mind, listeners, that nothing prior to this bridge collapse, prior to those 6 weeks preceding this event, there was not really anything. It was not known for, you know, like the place in New Mexico, it was not known for UFO activity. However, in addition to the sighting of the Mothman, which is a creature with red eyes, a rather pointed face, so if you want to think of it, for those that aren't familiar with what it looks like, about 7 to 8 feet tall, large wingspan, very large wings, incredible speeds, and let's see what else, very glowing red eyes. In addition to the reports of sightings of this creature, and some were very close encounters, meaning that the people and very reputable people, citizens, that were long-established citizens and residents of this town, doctors, lawyers, dentists, you know, very stable people. So it wasn't just like it was just a few, you know, of the town's, you know, outcasts, so to speak. But also there was reports of strange lights, a lot of UFO sightings, and, again, in an area that prior to this event, there had been relatively no activity. So although there's a couple different theories that are, you know, placed upon this Mothman, the author, John Keel, he actually wrote the book in regards to the Mothman and what occurred, and he speculated. And then the movie was created. The movie is not accurate in terms of times. I mean, it lightly follows the book, and it's a great movie. I've watched a lot, but I believe in what I've seen and what my guides have taught me. I do believe that the Mothman is a paranormal phenomenon, or it is, I should go a little step further and say that, like what you were saying, James, I believe that it's extraterrestrial. In other words, I feel that it is a live being. So I probably shouldn't say paranormal because I'm kind of contradicting myself, and I apologize for that. I believe that it's an actual being, but I feel like it's from another planet. Now, some of the speculation around these occurrences is that there's some other sightings in other areas, and there's a lot of folklore, too, that surrounds the Mothman. But this was such a tragic story that it really caught the attention of the media, which is why I bring it up, because there's, you know, there's so much to talk about with it, with the a collapsing bridge. So the question then is, was this, let's assume that this was real. It's hard for me to believe that all these different people would report strange lights in the sky, UFOs, and the sightings of the same creature. I mean, we do have the mass hysteria theory. I don't really buy into that, not in this case. So I feel that it was some type of interaction. The question is, was this creature, if we assume that this indeed was a creature and this creature was from another galaxy, another world, another solar system, a parallel universe, what was the intention or the agenda? Was it to try to warn people that something was going to happen? Or the other way of looking at it is, perhaps did this creature, did it have something to do with, did it cause this? Now, I will tell you that obviously when a major bridge like that collapses, there's an investigation. And the investigation found, again, if you think that the bridge was built in 1928, that's pretty old, and it was found that the bridge, when built, again, these are all facts based on the reports made and the scientific data that was compiled and the investigation, police, and whoever was involved. The bridge was never really built to support the weight that eventually would be there on rush hour. In other words, there was a weight factor. There were several cable areas that the connections had not been checked, and so there were some technical difficulties with the bridge. So they do have an explanation why the bridge collapsed. There was a reason, but that does not eliminate the fact that this town, these people, over and over again. Again, we're talking firemen, policemen, some of the most stable people. I believe there was a mayor, too, that had an encounter. And I really hope that our listeners, if they are familiar with this story, or, you know, again, there's been sightings of this creature that's been termed the Mothman in other areas, other reasons. If you've seen anything or you've had an experience, again, we would love to hear from you. So, based on that, James, what do you think about that story? I don't know how familiar you are with it, but what do you think about, have you seen that movie? Do you know much about Point Pleasant and the bridge collapse?
Well, yeah, this is James. I have to be honest, I don't know a lot about the Mothman and the kind of theory related. The little bit that I know, and it seems like it may even be different than some of the myth that's associated with, you know, what you're explaining, is when I hear the Mothman, and I haven't seen the movie, but when I hear that term, I remember reading something a while back that the Mothman, I don't want to call it an archetype, because it's not. It's an actual being, or that being shows up as kind of like a herald of something bad that's going to happen, some sort of calamity or some sort of tragedy. And I think that I remembered, and actually I was just doing a search online and I did find it here, but that the Mothman was a sighting of the Mothman before the Twin Towers collapsed as well. And and there were other kind of other tragedies where there were people that had kind of said that the Mothman, you know, and I don't know that I'm necessarily a believer with that, although it kind of makes sense if you think of, even past esoteric traditions. There has been, you know, anytime there's been major tragedy in a lot of ancient writings, there was an angel of death, and that picture of that is a winged creature, a winged humanoid type creature. So I mean, it is very possible. Is that an, you know, is that an angel of some sort that has a, you know, a certain strategy or plan, or is it, you know, an interdimensional being, or you know, a sentient being from another planet? I don't know, because I don't know much about it, even to really know a lot about the mythology surrounding it. But I do remember that I read in the past that it was something that was associated with kind of like the harbinger of doom, essentially. If you saw the Mothman, something bad was going to happen. So.
Right, right. Yeah, and you are right, James. I had actually forgotten that. But there was some reports, Twin Towers, and that you are very correct. I was fascinated with this because, like you, it for one thing, first of all, spiritually it resonated with me, and there's just something about when I saw the pictures that were drawn of it. There were no camera pictures, so I just want to be clear. These were drawings that people, sketches people did of what they saw. To my knowledge, I have not seen an actual picture that was taken with any type of camera or recording device. But from the description, I tend to agree with you. And there's been a lot of other incidences that it's, to me, it strikes me, it just resonates with me that it is a real being. I don't know, like you said, I'm not really sure how I would categorize it, if I would say that it is, you know, if it's in a parallel universe. I don't feel that, again, I feel it's a little different than when we talk about the Chupacabra or the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot. I think it has a little bit different symbolism and meaning. And I do feel that it's connected to life in some other form, alien-type life, is, you know, being, force, whatever, energy. And there is a lot of ancient drawings, like you pointed out, and just because right now the term since the 60s has been the Mothman, prior to that there were other terms, and I believe it to be the same creature. The description remains the same, and it's usually seen, you're right, I agree with you on that. Usually a person would see that either prior to their death or prior to some tragedy occurring. So it feels to me, I don't, you know, spiritually speaking, I don't personally pick up an evil feeling like this creature is, you know, if you even believe in it, if you're listening and you even believe, and we'd love to hear from you. If you're skeptical, you don't have to believe what we believe. We're open to whatever our listeners have to say in regards to this. We just would really love to hear from you all to share whatever you have to share, whatever you have to say, or whatever your thoughts are on the subject. But my feeling is that it's a warning, and why there's a communication problem. There was a part in the movie that really struck me, because that was a question that was raised in the movie, is, well, okay, assuming that this, you know, let's make some assumptions. Let's assume that this, it does exist, okay, and that it is trying to warn us. Let's say that its intention is a positive intention. It's not causing this. It's warning. Something very interesting was brought up in the movie, and it said, okay, well, let's take roaches, for example, and let's say you're getting ready to exterminate your home. Your home is, you know, maybe from the neighbors, whatever. You know, how would you communicate with roaches? Would you tell them, hey, buddy, you know, you guys might want to go somewhere else because we're fixing to have you all, you know, set off? And the point was, is that, Should this being be of such a supreme intelligence, or on a spiritual level so far from where we're at as humans walking the earth, it really struck me, and I thought, you know, that's a really good point. Maybe it just does not have the capabilities, because communication is so very different, and it's so far advanced, that was the best it could do, is to show up. Does that make sense, James?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, and I think that, too, it's, you know, it's so, anytime you're talking about, you know, an alien species or, you know, we have this idea that they're going to be just like us. And to be advanced, and I think that this is one thing, to be advanced, a creature would have to look like us and have the same, you know, or similar characteristics. And that's not necessarily true. I mean, you know, an alien creature could look like a great giant moth or, you know, I actually was just looking at pictures and it's very interesting. There's a lot of different renditions of this particular creature. But, you know, I think that, you know, a creature from another planet probably would look very different from us because the evolutionary chain is different. If the evolutionary chain is different, who knows? I mean, we may, you know, not have originated here either from some of the ancient, very ancient symbols that have been found with the development of humanity as well. So, I mean, I don't know. To me, it is still theory. I don't... I am a skeptic. I am not a believer in this. And it's odd because I was thinking about this earlier. When it comes to concepts and ideas and one of them was inner Earth that I was kind of contemplating today. That's one that I've actually read a lot about, or hollow Earth. And all of these, I have never had any kind of experience either spiritually in terms of, you know, with my guides or visions or anything like that related to this particular topic. So to me, I'm a skeptic until I have some sort of evidence. And it sounds silly because I'm, you know, the type of job that I do, who I am as a person and my expression both professionally and, you know, in my everyday life is that of someone who is kind of outside of the norm and on the fringe side of life with, you know, really paying close attention to spirituality and that nature. But, you know, I don't really have, with the Mothman, I don't really have a very strong impression that the Mothman is anything spiritual. I mean, it reminds me of the Angel of Death that's depicted in the Bible. But to me, I don't really get a strong impression or feeling that that's reality. It's just something that it reminds me of. You know, I'm not a believer because of that, and I'm still primarily a skeptic, I would say, that it's just a phenomenon that, you know, may have happened. And I do actually believe that groupthink and, you know, people talking to each other about events can actually shift, you know, perception and what people have perceived in it actually going down the line shifting as, you know, as time goes on and as stories evolve. So I guess that's my perspective on it right now.
Okay. Well, we actually have another expert, Denise, and she's got something she'd like to share. So this is probably a good time to go ahead, Natalie, and invite Denise on and see what she'd like
okay.
to share with us.
I will do that. She's got something really great to say, let me tell you. Okay, let me bring her in here. Okay, Denise, you're live on the air with Maya and James. So go ahead, interact, and tell your story. Share your experiences.
Okay, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yep, hear you loud and clear.
Okay, perfect. So this is Cognitive Denise, and I love this discussion because I'm very much in the similar pool as many of you when it comes to Bigfoot and Mothman and all of those X-File scenarios. But I must say, ever since I moved to Arizona, quite known for its Phoenix Lights and Sedona UFO sightings and all sorts of things, I've really, I guess, changed my mind or opened up my mind, I should say, to look beyond just, you know, dealing with spirits and angels and spirit guides, things of that nature. And one of the first things that I did when I moved here was I went to a UFO sitting out in the mountains up in East Arizona area where there's a lot of sightings as well on a daily basis. I did not see anything at that time, even when we did a meditation, you know, scenario and things of that nature, but I heard a lot of stories. So I kept on wanting to learn more, and I visited some of the sexual UFO group meetings and things of that nature in the area. And I must say, the thing that blew my mind was during a, it was almost a remote viewing type of meditation that we did. And I was only one of few psychics actually in the meeting. So, you know, we were naturally kind of looked at as, what did you see, what did you see? And when I was doing it, I saw this creature looking at me, and I saw creatures outside of the actual building in the most oddest form that I've ever seen anything in my life. And I was so fascinated, more so than freaked out or scared, that I wanted to learn more and more and more. And what I saw was this creature. It had the face of a praying mantis. You can actually look and Google this up, because these creatures do exist. And it had the face of a praying mantis, the body of a praying mantis, and the biggest black eyes that I've ever seen. And after we came out of the remote viewing session, and I'm looking at the individual that was hosting the session, I described what I saw, and he's just nodding his head and smiling. And he's like, wasn't that amazing? And I'm like, oh, my God, there's actually a creature that looks like a praying mantis out there. So I had to do my research, and as I continued to research, saw there were many people that have had these UFOs encounters in person, as well as through remote viewing sessions, visions, even experiences just in their homes. And the other vision that I saw was outside of the actual building. I saw all these little grays. The grays are known as probably about 4, maybe even to 5 feet tall creatures that look like they're like little reptiles. You know, they, some people might say they look like little dolphin faces, but to me they look like little reptiles. And they were dressed in what looks like these little uniforms. And I remember how short they were because I'm only 5 feet. And they were just a group of them. And there was a ship that was kind of like behind them, but it was kind of hovering. And I thought that was the weirdest thing, that there was this group of these little like minions dressed in these what looked like star uniforms. And again, I had to do my research. And when I did my research, I came across testimony after testimony of just so many people that had sightings and mentioned, yes, they, you were wearing these what looked like star uniforms and all sorts of things, and that the praying mantis creature was the leader of these graves. And so a lot still just has to come to me when it comes to researching these types of things. I don't do it on a regular basis. But when I hear people that come to me as clients and they give me these, you know, all sorts of testimonials of their experiences with extraterrestrials, especially in Arizona, I'm just really not surprised, because a lot of people have seen a lot of things out here, and it's just something about the desert heat and the reptiles and the cold-blooded creatures that seems to attract that energy. Mexico is another place, a lot of heavy testimonials, a lot of heavy evidence seen around the Ash ruins and things of that nature. So this is a very, very potent area for all types of extraterrestrial experiences, remote viewing experiences, spiritual experiences in general. And it's just one experience, actually several experiences that I've had personally, where I can attest to, yes, we are not alone. Yes, these creatures are here. They are watching us. They are pretty much walking around us as well, in terms of, you know, they are probably operating maybe underground tunnels. You can go all into the whole X-Files, Area 51 stuff as well. But from my personal, and I'm one of the types just like who mentioned that they were a little bit of a skeptic.
Oh, I'm a skeptic.
Yeah, you're the skeptic, yeah. So
absolutely.
I'm the same way. If I will keep an open mind, but if I see it, if I experience through meditation or I see it with my own eyes, I'm just a believer wholeheartedly after that. But I always
right.
go into things with a very intellectual mindset, first and foremost, educate, research, and then, you know, I'll make my own conclusion after that. But in this sense, I actually had to do the research afterwards. And I had a whole nother experience, which was really crazy. I don't even know if I'm going to talk about it, where I had a roommate years ago, back in my 20s, and I noticed there was this reptilian creature behind him. He was in a very dark place. He was on drugs. He was drinking. His girlfriend cheated on him, and he was just in a very dark place. And one day I was just looking at him, and I saw this creature manifest really quickly right behind him, very reptilian face. This smirk on his face was not friendly at all, and then the image just went away. And I knew that was my guide warning me that this is somebody not in a very good place. And he wasn't in a very good place. But I've never seen a reptilian spirit attachment until that moment. And again, I went and did my research. I even had to make a YouTube video on it. So it's just one of those things where until you experience it for yourself, and trust me, if you come to Arizona, you're going to have an experience if you're very enlightened and spiritual and at that high vibrational state. But it's just one of those things where I didn't really believe it so much. I knew we weren't alone, but the experience alone and the creatures and what they look like, it looks like something out of Star Wars. If you were looking at the scene where they're all kind of gathering and drinking at the bar, that's what the extraterrestrial universe looks like. It's not just one gray alien big eyes. There are many creatures out there that look very odd, ant-like creatures, like I mentioned, the reptile-like creatures, the praying mantis-type creatures. They all look very interesting, I should say. So it's very limiting for us to just think that, there are extraterrestrials out there that, look like us, talk like us, and they're just really intellectual. We all come in shapes and colors and sizes, so why not have a universe full of shapes, colors, sizes, and different beings that have evolved as well? And, of course, you've got a lot of beings that are known as the Norfolk, which have a very European look to them, blue eyes, blonde hair. A lot of people would associate them with Starseed generation, very much linked to the Starseed generation. So if you ever do any type of research on extraterrestrials, I'm telling you, there's a lot of information out there. You can go to earthfiles.com. It's a really great site to kind of keep up with the latest X-Files, real X-Files that are going on around the world. But it's fascinating. That's just my experiences. So I can only attest to what I've seen, but it's not all just, crazy talk. This stuff is actually quite real.
Well, thanks, Denise. Yeah, that's a pretty incredible story. I'm familiar, with some of the different forms, and I think there's a lot of different theories. And it's interesting, you guys are both skeptical, and I'm completely the opposite. I pretty much believe in just about everything that's out there. I believe that there's a whole host of alien life forms. And then when we're talking about some of these other creatures like Bigfoot, which is more of a physical, I had a personal experience, and I probably will share that I had an encounter with I have come to know now it to be Bigfoot. So definitely, I think what you said was, makes a lot of sense, just like what James is saying, and that sometimes until we have that experience, it's hard for us to believe that something exists. But once we've seen it, whether it's a spiritual encounter or it's a physical encounter, it can be, we can be skeptical about it. And why I'm this way, I don't know any more than, you guys are a little bit skeptical. I just tend to believe, maybe because of my life experiences here, I've seen things that I didn't think that I would ever see. And the praying mantis thing, I don't want us to go too far into the alien stuff, because I'd like to talk about some of these other physical manifesting or supposedly existing creatures, and maybe we'll get some people that have had experiences with those. Now, Denise, you said Arizona, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you've surely heard of the chupacabra, because it's...
Oh, absolutely.
That's been found or supposedly anyways in that area of Arizona, New Mexico. I have a brother that lives in Arizona, and that's an interesting creature, and the different things that surround what it could or could not be. I think for a lot of people, and a lot of people probably listening, again, if you're a skeptic, that doesn't mean we don't want to hear from you. We still want to hear your point and why you're skeptical. And if you have had an experience with something that kind of is off the map here, whether it's the Loch Ness or, one of these mammal type fish, like James, you mentioned earlier in the show, and you quoted us a I think you said 18,000 species, and I know from,
yeah.
from what I've looked at that there's been, like, the ocean is one of the biggest places that they have made. Did you find that to be true as well, James, that that's one of the biggest places where they've made some discoveries of just different creatures, and some of them are pretty bizarre looking?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that and insects, they're constantly finding new insects out there. So those are the two biggest areas. But I mean, it's. I think when I was looking into it, the thing that intrigued me the most is that they're still classifying larger, medium sized to larger mammals. Like, they're still finding mammals that are not classified, which to me, just, you know, it's outside of my realm of understanding. It makes the world seem a lot bigger than
yes.
I had originally imagined, you know?
Right. I agree. And I think it makes you, you know, I mean, when you start to see this, you know, people start making reports. Like here in Arkansas, they do what's called noodling. Do you know what that is, noodling?
I've never heard of that.
Okay, noodling is when you catch these giant catfish. These are 300 to 500 pound catfish, and they make nests in the rivers here around Arkansas and Missouri. And what people do is they literally go down and catch them. And 20 or so years ago, that was considered a myth that a catfish, your normal catfish, if you're a fisher. Men or you're a fishing fanatic, a good-sized catfish might be 15 pounds, would be considered a large. But we're talking a 20-foot, a catfish large enough that it could, larger than a human even, and could literally, I'm not suggesting that it preys on humans, but it's literally large enough in the way that the jaw works, and they do have a line of sandpaper-ish teeth. Could swallow a human. So imagine a 300 to 500 pound catfish that you reach in with your hand, and it actually, your hand is actually the bait, and you catch it by hand and pull it out, and they have a lot of contests. And they get, you know, they don't have teeth like a shark has teeth, so these people aren't getting, you know, their arms ripped off or anything like that, but they're getting like burn. Like a rug burn type mark. But, you know, I mean, I think about things like that, where that used to be considered, or the garfish, which is a very prehistoric fish. And for a long time, that was considered a myth that such a fish did not exist. But yet it's documented and it's categorized now. It's a garfish. It has a long nose. So I agree. The more discoveries that are made, the more I feel that it opens us up to the possibility that, okay, well, if they found this and they found that and they found this, then certainly there's other things out there. So let's talk a little bit about some of these other, like, I'd like to talk about Bigfoot. So do either of you, because I do have a personal experience, and it's actually listed on the Bigfoot. It's called BFRO. It's the Bigfoot Research Organization. I was actually interviewed, and this happened in 1992. And at the time when I had my encounter with this creature, it was before I knew anything about Bigfoot. As humans, we categorize things based on what we know. That's how children learn. You know, they learn the difference between a giraffe or between a cat and a dog, because of their ears, their size, their color, their motions. So we constantly are categorizing everything really is reinforced by what we know and what we don't know. So at the time, I had no idea what I had seen. I just knew that I had seen something that I could not, you know, in my mind, I could not find a category for. It was not a bear. I'm a wilderness person, and I've had many, many close encounters with bears, all different types of bears. And I knew that it was not a bear. Our mind kind of goes through, you know, when we're faced with something that's new or that's alien to us. And I don't mean alien necessarily as in, you know, from another planet, but just something that's new and different and doesn't fit into our category. Well, it's not a giraffe, like you mentioned about the kangaroos. And so that can make it hard. I mean, it's a surreal experience. And it wasn't until probably 8 or 9 years later that I moved to a different area. And I saw this picture, and I saw the sign of Bigfoot, and I mean, I just about, my blood ran cold. I just stopped in my tracks, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that is what I saw. So as soon as I knew, I contacted the organization, and they did a pretty strong interview with me, and they told me they felt pretty sure that, you know, there was no doubt that's what I saw, that there had been sightings there before. So before I go any further, I just want to check with Natalie and see if there's anyone else that is waiting to join in. And it may take for a minute.
Yeah, I do have a caller here, but I'll get to that caller after. But I do want to make the announcement of guests can call in and share their experiences at 347-838-9736. I've been remiss in not doing this, but I'm so enthralled with all of this information that I'm getting. I'm just sitting back and thinking, oh, this is really great, not thinking that, oh, come on, Natalie, you got to do your job here. So I have a caller here, and I will get to that caller. But this is fascinating. I'll let you carry on.
Okay, well, this is Maya. I'm going to carry on, and Natalie, just feel free to interrupt me if we have a guest that would like to share. And, yes, listeners, please, we really welcome your calls. And before I go ahead with my story, let me just check with James or Denise. Was there anything that you wanted to add before I go ahead and share my Bigfoot story?
Yeah, I just want to make one mention that I think a lot of people actually have a healthy, if they're listening to this radio station. So I think it's healthy to kind of go in with wanting more information and wanting to hear people's story like you've been sharing. I'm fascinated by it all. You know, it's really just another way to open up your mind even further to all the possibilities out there. And I know the ocean alone just looks like a magnitude of information that's just yet to come out, and that's probably one of the scariest places I personally think in the world is the ocean, because there's just so many creatures. But I love hearing stories, and I think it just, with me, like I said, I have a healthy skepticism.
Right.
I love just opening my mind even further and further and further. So this is fascinating.
Okay, we have another caller here. This is Dwayne, and he's got something to share, things that he's heard. So I'm going to connect him right now.
Okay, cool.
Okay, well, Dwayne, go ahead. You're live on the air. We've got Stars Maya, Stars James, or James, and we've got Denise, who's also Stars Cosmic Denise on Stars. But go ahead. Tell us your story.
Well, I've actually heard stories of people, like, disappearing in national parks, and they actually kind of lead to maybe that Bigfoot or Sasquatch is actually cannibalistic. So I
okay.
don't know if there's any truth in that, but I've heard them, like, people disappear and then they, like, find them. Like, most people I've heard that disappear in national parks, if they get lost, they would head down into the valleys
mm-hmm.
and, you know, try to find help. But I've heard that they have found people, like, up on top of mountains, like, just totally in shock.
So, wow. So places where, so if I'm understanding you, Dwayne, and we really appreciate your call in this evening, just so you know that, and for you to share, you know, some topics and some information that you've heard. So if I'm understanding you, Dwayne, you're suggesting that some of these people are disappearing and they're found in areas where they would not be able to physically get to on their own, so something had to put them there. Am I following
exactly.
you right?
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting. So you've heard that this creature, if such does exist, this Bigfoot or Sasquatch, is cannibalistic and actually sees the human being as a source of food then.
Yes. That's what I've heard. And,
okay.
There's a book on the subject, but I can't remember the title of the book right now, and I wish I could, but so. But anyway, yeah, I've heard tales that that they have found people like on top of mountains where they shouldn't be at, and
right,
and that people's been just in so much shock that they can't remember what happened to them. And then I've heard that they've, you know, found some not alive, and they found their bodies like, you know, mangled and whatnot, and like places they couldn't have got to. And I've also heard like little kids disappearing, and then they find their bodies like 10, 12 miles away, and there's no way that the little kid could have gotten there.
Right, so, that they could travel, right, that distance. And then animals, I know that there's been a lot of speculation on animals. I mean, you know, that's, again, we're speculating on what could possibly be at the root of that. But I definitely have heard that before, that, you know, farmers finding their animals, like, for example, a 500-pound hog that's in a fenced area where there's no drag marks, so something actually toted it. So it stands to reason that something would have to have some type of power or the strength to carry a hog that a human, which kind of goes along with what you're saying, the probability of another human being able to, you know, like a child walking 12 miles or whatever seems impossible. So interesting point, very interesting point, Dwayne, that there's, you know, there's definitely a lot of theories and ideas out there. And I don't know if James or Denise wanted to ask you anything. This is Maya that you're speaking to, or if they wanted to add anything to what you're offering for contemplation.
Yep, interesting. In the chat room, they're talking about the nature realm, you know, the fae, the fairies, things of that nature. And sometimes if you've heard of, you know, fae circles and, you know, the lore, if you step into a fae circle, you kind of go into a different realm, things of that nature. So do you think maybe there could be such things as, you know, Bigfoot as well as, you know, maybe the fae kind of playing in the same role? Maybe in different scenarios or situations?
Well, I can, this is James. I can tell you, as a skeptic, I've had experience with fairies and with the fae. So that's one thing I'm not skeptical about. And then that's kind of where my skepticism stops, is once I experience it. I mean, I would say before that, which it was probably maybe three or four years ago now, before I had any kind of experience like that with a fairy, that I would probably be more skeptical of that, since it's not even in the cryptid type family, it's more in the mythology type family. But you know, I my skepticism, you know, faded away with that particular area. So and I know we are kind of running out of time, so I just wanted to see, Maya, what do you think about that?
I was actually I didn't get to hear the last
We were talking about the fae and fairies and that realm, and if that kind of maybe played into the Bigfoot, or is that, you know, a separate category? That's kind of what we were talking about. I'm sorry?
Oh, yeah, in terms of those who go out missing out in nature, they might both play into the role, but I was just wondering what you guys thought about that, too.
Oh, okay.
Well, to answer you, James, now, it's interesting, and I agree with Denise that you know, being a healthy skeptic is always good, because skepticism keeps us out of danger to a point. It's kind of a protection. So when I say that I'm really open, it doesn't mean that I'm naive and I see all kinds of, you know, critters. It just means that I've just had some experiences that have led me to believe, like you just said, James. Now, I've had no experience whatsoever with the fae or the fairies. And there's another one that I can't think of what they call them, but I know that a lot of people, gosh, I wish I could think right now what they're called, but I know that a lot of people do believe they exist. And I would say that I'm a little skeptical of that. I do believe that that's very different. I think our topic is really broad, and we're talking about some things that are actual physical or you know, seen, like Bigfoot is an actual, that's a physical creature. If it does exist, if what I saw, that's physical. The fae and the fairies and the praying mantis type, you know, aliens, to me those are more in a completely different realm. And Natalie asked about crop circles. You know, that's something too, that there's a lot of media coverage on the crop circles. And so to me, like crop circles, I know there's been a lot of hoaxes, but you know, I think that comes from another. I mean, that's something that's documented, again, if you want to go back to the pyramids and the ancient walls and the Mayan ruins and so on and so forth. Much of that was documented in these, the graphical and the geometry and the precision that these crop circles are done. It's just astounding. It's beyond pretty much what we scientifically could achieve. So what, James, what are your thoughts on the crop circles? Are you a skeptic on that, or do you have any thoughts on the crop circles?
I would say I'm not a skeptic in terms of they're coming. Of course, okay, let me backtrack a little bit. I do believe that some of them are hoaxes. However, there are certain attributes of what I would call real crop circles, and from what I've read, and I've never personally seen one, but just from what I've read and, you know, documentaries that I've watched, I would say that, you know, there are some attributes that are kind of beyond what a human can do with, you know, with the geometry and the size and all of that. So, I mean, I am not a skeptic when it comes to that. And actually, I was just thinking when we brought up this particular topic, there was a documentary, and it's been a few years since I've watched it, but called Thrive, and they mentioned crop circles as well, pretty extensively. And their explanation in that documentary, and I thought it was really well put together, that documentary, it was talking about how crop circles are actually a message from extraterrestrial-type beings giving us an alternative form of energy. And that's what the crop circles are, actually like a diagram or a, you know, kind of like a blueprint for an alternate form of energy. And, I mean, Thrive is actually a really good documentary, but it kind of goes into a conspiracy that, you know, we don't necessarily want green energy as a culture, because we're addicted to, you know, oil and all of that, and we're kind of manipulated by that industry. And so, I mean, that's a little bit beyond what we were talking about, but, you know, that's what it always reminds me of. And that documentary pretty much convinced me that there was more going on with the crop circles than just, you know, somebody going out there and
dragging,
you know, kind of creating
a blade. Yeah.
Right, right.
I agree, James. I think I watched that. I'm almost positive I watched that. And like you, you know, I was a little skeptical. I mean, I had seen a few, and of course there was that big, you know, I mean, which is the case with all these things that we're discussing. You know, you had the case of the alien, and, you know, that was fake, the alien autopsy, that was fake. And then two people that came forward that claimed to have the Bigfoot, that was fake, that was a hoax. And a few of the crop circles were hoaxes and fakes, but I believe if I didn't watch that exact documentary, it was something very similar. And I mean, I found the, you know, when they went into the scientific data and how the alignment was, and like they were explaining the use of the power, and even some of the testing that they did on what was left behind was unidentifiable and a source. So I do believe, I think that goes a little more into the alien UFO, and, you know, not that that's not a good subject, because there's so much to talk about with that as well, but, you know, I believe that there's something behind that, and I believe that that's more in, you know, I don't think that's a creature, you know, in terms of something physical. So I think we have a couple different things going on. We have these, you know, the possibility of existence of extraterrestrial life, other life forms, parallel universes, and, you know, different of species. And if you look at the body, at the physical body, you know, we're a compound. We're made of different chemicals, and therefore our planet, you know, we're acclimated, and so it's acclimated to support our life form. So it would stand to me, it would make sense to me that other life forms on other galaxies, their planet, the chemical compounds that they're made of are going to be different because their planet is going to be different, and therefore they're going to look a lot different. You know, there are some that walk among us that look like us, but then there's a lot of others. But I really want to tell my story about my Bigfoot experience because it really was a life-changing event. So let me just check with Natalie and see if we have anyone else before I get into that. See if we have anyone else.
No, you're okay. Go ahead. The room is really, they are loving this topic. You should see all the comments they're making. I just love it. I think this is awesome. So go ahead.
Okay.
And we have until 8:30 anyways. We have until 8:30. I extended it, so we're fine.
Okay. So this is Maya again, just to remind our listeners. And I'm talking about Bigfoot. And this goes back to 1992. And I lived in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Currently, I live in Arkansas, but I live in northwest Arkansas. So this, the Hot Springs is about the center of Arkansas. And I've always enjoyed nature, and a male friend and I, it was a full moon, and I've always enjoyed being outdoors, and so we decided at the last minute to take a drive. Arkansas is a very humid, warm climate. This was in September of 92, and so in September of 92, the temperature in the evening, like unlike other areas, doesn't drop significantly. It's still in the 80s, so very warm evening. So we drove out to Lake Hamilton, which is a very large lake with a lot of fingers, a lot of inlets. We drove to an area that was day use only. You know, they have that little chain. We didn't really... What the heck was that now? We're not allowing aliens to...
I don't know what that was. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Whoever you are, go away. Don't bother Maya while she's telling a story. Thank you. I will not have it. I will not. Okay, so I'm going to try to cut it short. So my friend and I, just to be clear, there was no drinking or drugs involved, so we weren't under the influence of anything. We were just friends. And we, this beautiful moonlit night, we went to this area that was a day use area, a drop-in for boats, and it was completely, really technically it was closed, but it wasn't like we didn't break a gate or bust a lock. I mean, we weren't doing anything illegal, but it just was primarily used for dropping your boat in the water for day use. So this was about, we arrived, it was about 12:30 a.m., and we pulled as close as we could to where the concrete pad goes into the water. And it was a very full moon, and it was very high, very bright. We were sitting comfortably in the back of the truck, no music on. We were hearing different noises like raccoons chatter, and they can sound like cats fighting. So we were just kind of enjoying, you know, the nature and beauty and the moon shining off the lake. And when you looked across, the way the lake was, this finger of the lake, if you will, or this inlet part of the lake, it was wooded around with a large opening where the boats could go in, and then there was I'd been there, of course, during the day, too, so I was familiar with what it looked like during the day. And there was a dirt path that followed around the finger of this lake so that people could walk, maybe they would picnic, but it was fairly wooded. In Arkansas, woods are very low brush, a lot of like bushes, tangle, thorns. It's not really good hiking. The forest is pretty thick. So just to give you an idea of the scene there. So there's a path, and people would go, you know, fish, and there was no vehicles at all. So as my friend and I are sitting there, we're just, you know, talking, again, enjoying the evening, and there's woods in front of us and woods to the side except for this large opening. So to the right of us, as we're looking at the lake, and you could see fish jumping, and we were commenting on that, we notice a shadow cast on the lake, and we said, oh, wow, somebody is here, you know, and didn't think much about it. All you could see was a shadow, and shadows are always larger than the person or what have you, so it never occurred to us to be concerned or alarmed at that point, and we said, we kind of looked around and said, yeah, I don't see any car or vehicle, but, you know, whatever, maybe, I mean, you're in Arkansas, people walk barefoot everywhere, so no big thing. So we're pretty close at this point. I'm not really good with distances, but I'm going to say maybe 50 yards probably would be a good estimation. Maybe I wish I was better with describing distances. And so we sat there. We were unconcerned. We were assuming that when this person was going to enter into our line of vision, we would probably see someone, at least one person, carrying their little bucket and their fishing pole. And what we saw instead that came into our line of vision, it was walking so that its left side was to us, a creature unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. Now, it was in profile. It was slightly stooped, knees slightly bent. It looked very human-like, bipedal, very comfortable walking. You could see the profile. You could see this reddish-brown fur or hair covering. The profile of the face, there was a heavy brow, so you couldn't really see the eyes, but it was obvious it was not immediately upon entering our line of vision. I knew immediately it was not a bear. A bear will walk upright, but, again, I'm familiar with bears. I've been in close contact with them many times, and they have a very, you know, their profile, their snout is very prominent. So when they walk upright, they're just different. You could see the arms a little bit longer than a human. Height, I would say, had to be at least 8 feet, perhaps 9 feet tall. Its head was down, and its head was slightly turned, as though it were looking at the lake. It seemed to be walking with a purpose. And once, I mean, your system, like I said before, when you can't categorize something, your mental state goes into shock. And my friend and I mean, I'm sure our mouths were on the ground. We were sitting in the truck. I mean, we were just so dumbstruck and by what we saw that I don't think we spoke for time, you know, it seems like time goes slowly, but it actually was probably a couple of minutes. And by the time we both could speak, we just looked at each other and we both, I mean, we're thinking the same thing. What is that? And about the time we realized whatever the heck this thing is, we don't want to have any kind of involvement with it, you know, I said, we both kind of at the same time, we were in the back of the truck and in a pickup, and we both started, you know, I'm assuming we were probably loud at that point, but we both said, you know, let's get out of here, let's get out of here. We startled this creature, because at the moment as we were scrambling out of the back of the truck, he was able to jump over the side. I am short. I was not able to. So I'm scooching, hurrying. My heart is pounding. And this creature turned towards us. And, you know, the moonlight streaming down, it was in the clear opening, not very far from us, far enough that it could close the distance, like, let's say, 2 car lengths. In front of us maybe would be a better way of giving you a distance on this thing. And I believe that it looked to me as though it was just as shocked as we were, as though it had not expected, the vehicle was not running. I have no explanation for why it just seemed surprised. It stood and looked at us as we were scrambling and getting into the truck. Because Arkansas is so humid, we noticed as we were scrambling and I was getting in the passenger side, I said, go, 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 it's coming, it's coming. It started to purposefully, it had a purpose and it was striding towards us. It wasn't running, but its strides were so, I mean, the length of the strides were probably twice that of a human, and it was closing the gap fast. So when we got in the vehicle, I was trying to figure out, I wanted to see it, and the dampness and the humidity in Arkansas had, you know, created condensation, so I had to roll down my window. And as I did, and I said, go, 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 he had started the car or the truck, and the thing, the last view that I had of it is when my head was out the window, and it was almost to the back of the truck. And that's how big the stride was. And I glimpsed its face it was pretty close, because imagine, you know, it was a long bed, mid-sized truck, so it was pretty close at that point. If it outstretched its arm, it probably could have touched the truck. And it didn't make any sounds that I heard or that registered with me. But at that point, the look on its face was not friendly. It seemed a little threatening to me. And I was, at that point, I was screaming, you know, floor it. Well, because it's a beachy area, you know, or a lake area, it's a mixture of not really sand like you'd see at the ocean, but, you know, kind of lakeish sand plus gravel for parking. So the tires spun, and the vehicle began moving. I pulled myself back into the vehicle, my head back in. And then as he was moving and he had gotten almost to the entrance where we had pulled in, I turned back around and I could not see it. I had no vision on it, and he rolled down his window and he saw no vision of it. We wanted to make sure we were safe. And we pulled out of there and drove like a madman to my house. I mean, we were just shaken. Now, this was a 6'2", just a friend of mine, but definitely not a person that would become easily spooked or scared, or someone that, you know, it took us probably an hour to really even be able to discuss this, and we, neither of us could come up with anything. I mean, we both knew. We said, well, it wasn't a bear, and we just said, it couldn't have been someone in a costume. No one knew we were coming there. It was just the whole scene, you could just tell that it was something that was just a random experience. So again, years later, so I'll finish up my story by saying about 4 or 5 years, maybe a little bit longer later, I happened to be in the Redwoods of California, Northern California, and I came across a picture. And they were bragging about, you know, the Redwoods being the home of Bigfoot Sasquatch. And it dawned on me, and I thought, oh, my goodness, that's what I saw. That is exactly what I encountered. And to this day, you could not convince me. And I told, you know, my family has grown up, meaning my children and my husband have grown up hearing my experience, because I know as sure as I've seen a coyote, or I've seen a brown or black bear, or I've seen anything else in the physical life, I know beyond a doubt that I saw Bigfoot. There is no doubt in my mind that what I saw was a real living creature, and so that's my story.
Wow, that was amazing.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
It is.
I'm headed to the Redwoods now.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm going to head to the Redwoods now. I'm absolutely, like, I was seeing the whole visual, And I was like, oh, she is not making this up at all. This is the real deal experience that you had. And you could feel the emotion. You could see the steam. Oh, my goodness.
And if anybody would like to follow up, if you go to the BFRO site and you click on Arkansas, the year was 1992, and I used my legal initials of CC, and you will see the story. It's considered a Class A encounter, and then the person that interviews you gives a rundown and says, you know, I found the person to be, you know, very reliable, kind of like Denise, what you're saying, that, you know, there would be no reason, the details, I mean, they are just as fresh in my mind because the experience. So when we talk about fact or fiction, you know, myth or legend, real or not real, that is something that you know, changed my life and what I see, because I would never, I don't, you know, we talked about being skeptics, and I would never have probably believed in that creature just based on the hype and the TV shows and all that, but I know what I saw. And so I wish we would have gotten, I'm glad that Dwayne called in, and Denise, of course, that you did to share your experience, but I'm convinced, and I do feel that at some point in our lifetime, I feel like we that will be one of those, James, like you're talking about, that will be one of those creatures that finally becomes known and accepted and identified, because where there's one, there's more. I mean, I think we can all agree with that. And I appreciate you all listening to my tale, but it's important because I think it, in retrospect, I feel a little bit special. I mean, I feel a little bit grateful that I had that experience, even though I'll tell you, I was absolutely terrified. And it took me a long time to get over that, to get past it. But anyways, we probably need to wrap things up, and I certainly talked enough. This is Maya again. You can just call me Bigfoot Maya if you want. So, James, go ahead, and what are your final thoughts here on these interesting subjects?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I guess to wrap up is just that this has been a much more intriguing conversation than I had anticipated when I was first thinking about the topic, because it is an area that, you know, is kind of, it's one that I personally don't have a lot of experiences. So, but I think that the conversation was really good, and I enjoyed myself. So I guess I'm going to end with that, and I want to thank everybody for listening. And it's, you know, whether you're calling in or listening, we appreciate you, and I just want to thank everybody for taking part.
Great. Thank you, James. And Denise, what, go ahead with any final thoughts or...
Yeah, I think the best thing that I want to leave everybody with is, and thank you, first of all, for sharing your stories, but I want to leave everybody with just the idea that whatever you experience in life, whatever, you know, you think is real, whatever you think is not real, keep a shelf of possibilities. Because when you have a shelf of possibilities, it just allows you to put something on it for a later date. So always keep an open mind, always have a healthy level of skepticism, but, you know, at the end of the day, your experiences are your experience, and that's your truth, and don't be afraid to, you know, share it, because most likely there are going to be other people who can share that same experience and truth with you, and you're just going to feel so much better once you get it out, but you're going to open other people's mind as well. So I think this has been a very enlightening and open forum for discussion that I am actually quite blessed to be a part of. It's been so fun.
Well, this is Maya, and I agree. This has been really provocative, and I really enjoyed. Thank you, Denise, for joining us this evening, and I'd like to thank Dwayne for his thoughts and ideas that he shared with us. And to all the listeners, you know, we hope that all of our topics are going to be provocative, thought-provoking, and I support what Denise said. I do believe that, you know, there are things that necessarily each of us has our own reality, and just like my encounter that I shared with you this evening, you know, I know I have my, you know, I know that what I saw occurred. So if you're listening and you've had an experience, regardless whether it's a fae or a fairy or an alien creature or a Bigfoot or you've seen a Loch Ness or something that you couldn't categorize, whatever your experience is, definitely the only validation we should need is our own self-validation. And what you said, Denise, is very true. That is, and that's, you know, be open to things. We don't necessarily have to believe everything we hear and see, but certainly, you know, be open that there are things out there that we, you know, just because we have an encounter does not mean they don't exist. And if you have had an encounter with something, you know, don't be afraid of that experience. Embrace that experience and don't be afraid to share your story or just to validate yourself. You know, it's okay. Just because your neighbor John or your brother Bob or your sister Sue didn't have that experience or doesn't, you know, conform to that belief, doesn't make it any less real to you. So for all of our listeners, I hope that you've enjoyed the show. We so do appreciate all of you joining in and listening. And please know always you're welcome to call in. Whether you agree or disagree or have an experience to share, this has been a really great show and great topics and great input. Thank you, James. Thank you, Denise. Thank you, Natalie. Thanks to everyone in the chat room for all their hard work and support. And peace out.
Take care, everybody.
Well, I guess it's back to me. I want to thank you all for coming tonight and Denise and James and Maya for the wonderful stories. I'm just in awe. I'm in awe every week, and it's been fun. And, of course, we have to thank Stars Priestess Candy, Stars Judy Noah, and, of course, Stars Cosmic. Denise started off in the chat room, and we also had Stars Heather there tonight, too. I see her. Have to thank all of them. Candy's running off right now. All the little tiny URLs that she figured out, you know, from Bitly, and she promos everybody all day long, and we have to give her an extra special thanks. And next week, I don't know what the topic's going to be, but you can bet it's going to be a good one. So everybody have a great evening, and come back and see us next week, okay? Bye-bye. I love you guys.
Back at you.